Well, hello and welcome to the After the Sermon podcast. This is a Bethany Church podcast where every week we get to dive into the sermon that is preached on Sunday mornings. And I am Joe and I am joined by Tammy DeLau.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, and also Pastor Thad. And Pastor Thad, this week we are talking again on the Sermon Mount and anger this week. And take us away and we'll jump in.
Yep, absolutely. So way back when, we were on the preaching team retreat and we were looking at this Life According to Jesus series and we saw the anger passages or verses there. We thought, man, that's going to be just an absolutely solid, you know, sermon. Mm-hmm. But as I began to study over these passages and thinking about and praying about where we are in society, walking on eggshells, cancel culture, everybody being so mad, turn on CNN, turn it on Fox, look on social media. It's just anger is everywhere. And it's just, and I think it's important, you know, and as I'm going through this, I'm thinking about this, you know, out of our hearts come this anger, right? Mm-hmm. And even though we're in this anger incubator, right, with the pandemic, the economic fallout, the civil unrest, all of these dynamics, it's not that it's creating the anger, but it's exacerbating it. And so I began to realize, man, we need to be equipped to know how to think about anger, how to respond to anger. How does anger interact with our faith and our relationship with Jesus and our brothers and sisters and those outside of the church? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you don't hear a lot of sermons about anger. And again, when I saw it, you know, however many months ago that was, I was like, yeah, that'll be a good solid one sermon. But as I jumped into this, I was like, my goodness, this is not only so important to a real issue in our society, but it is so important for us to understand how to deal with this. Mm-hmm. We didn't, for various circumstances, we weren't able to have podcasts last week, so we didn't get to talk a lot about certain things that were said. But I've had quite a few people say, hey, heard your message, and I called so-and-so, and I called so-and-so, and I called so-and-so. Hey, you gotta hear this, right? Because whatever's going on in your life, and that's been pretty cool. But anyways, we're in this anger incubator.
There you go.
There we go. Not an anchor. A angry incubator. We recognize our hearts. And so just to briefly kind of walk back over this, last Sunday, we dealt with, okay, how do we deal with our own anger, right? How do we, because that's so important. Mm-hmm. And we come to the passage that we're going to more so cover this week, and it's going to be talking about how do we handle when people are angry at us, right? But just because we weren't able to cover it a lot last week, I do want to take just a moment, quickly review some of the things, and really just talk about one thing that's going to kind of cross over. And there'll be some overlap, obviously. But I just want to go back and, you know, we talked about understanding and controlling your emotions last time, controlling your tongue, you know, which is so important. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be a concept that maybe we'll talk a little bit about this week as well. But that control of your tongue, yes, it's one-on-one, but it's also social media. It's all those things, which I didn't bring up as much.
And there are things that people will say on social media that they would never say to your face.
Absolutely.
So we need to control our tongues and our fingers.
Yes, and our fingers. That's right.
It's what the Bible would say if it was
written.
That's right.
Yes. Well, so I know of this one example where I was working with a couple and they were going through some challenges. And I don't know why they did this, but one of the two of them just ranted on their spouse on Facebook. I was stunned. Then I scroll down further, and the other spouse responded on Facebook. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
I cannot, because I've seen people email, I've seen people, you know, say that kind of stuff. I've even seen them, you know, email their small group and it kind of just gets messy. Like, I've seen all of that. And that's not good. But man, you just put your dirty laundry and hurt your partner and did this intentionally. To not just your small group or inner family or any circle, but I mean to the world.
They were not 1 Corinthians 5:11, encouraging one another and building
each other
up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not happening.
So it's just the opposite.
That's a lot of hurt you got to come back and unpack. So man, you've got to control your tongue. Or your fingertips, whatever, you know, that's huge. Seeking counsel, you know, how many of us have sent that email or not I sought, you know, other perspective, mm-hmm. you know, on our anger. Yeah. So important. Mm-hmm. And then all, and then the last kind of points all kind of came together. And before we got on air, Tammy kind of mentioned this, you know, bringing God into the equation, having him search your heart, having him help you, you know, ask those questions. Why am I feeling this way? Mm-hmm. What is this really all about? And then giving love and forgiveness, which is really, it's talking about applying the gospel. Mm-hmm. And one of the statements that we heard was the gospel truth of Christ's forgiveness applied to anger dissolves anger through gratitude.
Mm. Amen.
When we think about what Christ has done for us in the gospel and the good news, that creates a gratitude and a thankfulness and a humbleness mm-hmm. within us mm-hmm. that dissolves anger.
We can't stay angry when we realize what's been given to us.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's still going to be hurt. I'm not saying that there won't be hurt there and that things mm-hmm. are going to take time. And there's some things that are so painful that maybe will never be completely over. Mm-hmm. But that anger, that fury, that rage, mm-hmm. And this is an ongoing thing, applying the gospel to it, you know, mm-hmm. That complete trust in that. That anger, because again, all of these, like those first couple things mm-hmm. there, these are steps. Mm-hmm. These are good. These are how you look at anger, how you control anger, but it doesn't actually deal with anger, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's such a distinction.
So crazy Tammy analogy. I never know when things come to my head, where they're coming from, but I have friends that are really dealing with water issues right now. And in their basement, yeah. water is coming up from the ground and they are turning on their sump pumps and they're cleaning it. And so this whole anger thing, it's there. It's the groundwater. It's coming up. We've got the things that are going on in our culture that are exposing it or bringing it, and that the steps that you have asked us to do or, you know, showed us how this can help us really is like bringing in that sump pump, and it's getting rid of the water.
It is. And it's just one of those dynamics that we ultimately have to, because you think about it, I'm trying to go back in all of my education. So much of counseling and dealing with anger, mm-hmm. it's Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. It's take this step. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to remember, did anyone say, what do you actually do mm-hmm. to the angry? And most people just says, oh, it's going to take time. Mm-hmm. And just water under the bridge and all that kind of stuff. And they'll give you steps of how to control it, mm-hmm. right? How to not let it...
Anger management.
But how do you actually get rid of the beast, mm-hmm. right? Or how do you actually mm-hmm. dissolve that? I mean, mm-hmm. again, we have our sin nature. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But how do you actually dissolve it, get rid... Don't just cage it, mm-hmm. right? Which is what makes us sick sometimes emotionally and soulfully. These diseases and angers we talked to. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just caging the beast. How do you calm mm-hmm. it?
And one of the questions you asked for Grow Group questions was, of this responsibility list, which one is the hardest mm-hmm, for you? Mm-hmm. And so I know it's fun when we kind of role play that or show people how to do that. Joe, curious, on that responsibility list, which one are you like, oh, that one is tough for me?
The worst? Oh, yeah, the tough one. Mm-hmm. Man, I think seeking counsel okay. is probably the hardest, because when you're angry, like... you kind of just lose a bit of your mind, mm-hmm. I think, when you're mm-hmm. really angry and you just kind of, it's just me and this person and I'm mm-hmm. mad at them and mm-hmm. they did me wrong. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to lash out at them quick here. But to slow down and to be like, okay, mm-hmm. let's talk about this.
I think for me, and great question, and I can't wait to hear your answer. So I think, yep. I think for me.
Yeah, you put me on the spot.
Yeah, so, I think early in my life, it would be recognizing, right? Understanding and controlling my life.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Like not just, not being able to say, okay, I am feeling this anger right now. Why am mm-hmm. I feeling this anger? Mm-hmm. Right? I think that was, you know, I would just feel the emotion or have it happen to me mm-hmm. and not reflect on what is happening to me. Why is this happening to me? So I think that would have initially been. But then when you talk about bring God into the equation, all this, as a Christian, and as you begin to know these answers, sometimes we want to hold on to our anger. Mm-hmm. Like we want to be justified in being angry. We want to that. And so Because I know that when I bring God into the equation, when I bring Jesus into the equation, when I apply the gospel, it's going to go away. Mm-hmm. It's going to calm mm-hmm. those seas, right? When we talked yeah. about holding it back. And so, but I don't know that I want that sometime. My sin nature doesn't want my anger mm-hmm. to go away. It wants to hold on to that vengeance.
It's true. And I know I heard a guy preach a sermon on that, like anger and stuff. I think it was even Sermon on the Mount, but the guy asked the crowd three questions, and I think it was, why are you angry? Who are you angry at? What are you angry about? Or something like that. And the guy, some guy came up to him after service and was like, why? I don't know. Who are you angry? Everyone. What are you angry with? Everything. And he's like, do you want to be angry? And he's like, I like it. It's who I am. I don't know how to be anything else. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of coming to that realization that you are angry, mm-hmm. and but you've got to want to not be angry. Mm-hmm. So... Mm-hmm. So what's your answer, Dan?
Well, you know, all of them I struggle with probably. I think I understand oftentimes where my anger is coming from, what lie I'm believing. So it's that controlling the emotion part that's hard, which therefore I think would be the bringing God into the equation. Like, you know, mm-hmm. so I would do that with our little ones when they're having a rough time, and I'd be going head to head with a child about something. And as soon as I would stop and say, hey guys, let's pray, that anger would dissipate, understanding would come, and I'd be like, why did I wait so long to go there? Does that make sense at all?
I can't imagine you being angry, Tammy. I don't know. I'm not on staff, so I'm sure she screams at that.
I could just see that, oh, you little lamb.
No.
Yeah.
No. You know, God has grown me a ton. My two oldest will tell you they had a different mama than the last two have had, so... Growth is a beautiful thing, and I'd like that's a cool. do-over sometimes. Right. So,
it's good. It's
that's
good.
Why forgiveness exists. Yeah. So,
so all the way back to the key statement, right? We must be responsible for our emotions, and most people would tell you, "Yeah, I get that.
Amen.
That's mature. Mm-hmm. That's responsible." But for the Christian, it's we must be responsible for our emotions and care for the emotions of others. That's where there's a big
disconnect
mm-hmm. in culture and even as Christians, recognizing mm-hmm. God has called us to that. And so this week, not only are we going over the same verses, but I actually added verse 9, which is basically talks about the idea of we are to be peacemakers. And if we're peacemakers, we'll be sons and daughters of God. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. There's something about, well, we'll get into it here in a minute. There's something about that. Being a brother, sister of Jesus, being like Jesus, being in that family of God, mm-hmm. having that pure heart, that this is what you're going to be. And it goes so well with going along with and care for the emotions of others, because we are to be peacemakers, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We are to care for their anger, their emotions, and go to them and help make things right, help them deal with it, mm-hmm. you know, to whatever degree we can. And so mm-hmm. I think it's so powerful. So... As a matter of fact, that Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, right? And if you take Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we really unpacked that, and we talked about the heart and the issue and all of that. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that idea of connecting, being with God. Mm-hmm. Put it together with peacemakers, right? And you're talking about the family of God. Not only are you connected, he's the Father, but your family of God, brother and sister of Jesus, you're acting like he would act. And again, we're going to get into a minute about, well, what did Jesus do to make peace, right? How did he, you know, he went even to the cross mm-hmm. to make things right. So powerful there. And you talked about this idea of this being the kingdom of God. The whole Sermon on the Mount is talking about the kingdom life, the kingdom of mm-hmm. God, and this, again, all being part of it. So powerful. Mm-hmm. So some of the verses we're going to focus on this week is Matthew 23 through 26, Matthew 5, 23 through 26. So mm-hmm. if you're offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. Mm-hmm. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and put you in prison. Truly I say to you, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. Powerful mm-hmm. verses here that are talking about us caring about the emotions, the anger mm-hmm. of others. So Colossians 3:13, tells us to be bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, you need to be forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you mm-hmm. also must forgive. This is applying the gospel, not only internally, you know, to you, but how this is going to allow you then to go. Mm-hmm. Again, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons of God. What did Christ do? He forgave us. He came here, left mm-hmm. heaven. He came to us, helped mm-hmm. us in our situation, even to the point of death. Mm-hmm. What humility for him to do that. And then here we're called because of what Christ did. We are to go others. We are to care for them. We are to make a way forward for mm-hmm. them in relationship. And even in the future, as we talk about peacemakers, and I come back and kind of conclude the series, we're going to talk about that desire of keeping the relationship open and for there to be a future way and mm-hmm. to be able to push forward. Romans 12:18, if possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Mm-hmm. Right. There may be a situation mm-hmm. that it's almost impossible, but yet as far as it depends on you, you do everything you can mm-hmm. to peaceably live with all, to go to them, to reconcile. Mm-hmm. Talking about reconciliation again, Philippians 2:4, look not only to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Mm-hmm. Matthew 7:12, the golden rule. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Mm-hmm. So ample mm-hmm. scripture here tells us we need to be interested. We need to be concerned with the emotions of others, particularly anger.
Yeah.
Yep. So here we go. So when do we need to be reconciled? When do we need to take this action? So I guess as we talk about when, we need to also talk about what qualifies, right? When mm-hmm. we're talking about when do I actually need to go? So here's some things that we see. Is this situation dishonoring God? Somehow is this dynamic dishonored God, and this needs to be cleared up for the glory of God. That needs to be thought about in this dynamic. When we're at the altar, when we're worshiping, when we're in a Sunday morning, when we're mm-hmm. going into our devotional quiet time, when we're doing all this stuff, and we remember there's this thing out there, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Let's start to ask ourselves, does this thing dishonor God? Is it damaging to your relationship with another person? Is it hurting others, or is it hurting others that sees it happening? You know, if there's a drift in your relationship because of some dynamic going and it's hurting multiple people. Mm-hmm. Of course, if it's hurting the offended. And here's the interesting, is it hurting you? So, you know, also, mm-hmm. you know, is it hurting you? Is it bothering you? This is another thing to mm-hmm. to consider, having someone angry at you. So I think, so if the box gets checked on any of those, and that's a lot of boxes, mm-hmm. then yeah. You need to make a move. One of the blessed things to me is when someone, I'm not angry with you know, anyone, right? But let's say something happens, right? Or a staff meeting and somebody disagrees with me, or I don't know, just any dynamic. And then someone comes to me later on and it's like, hey man, listen, I know I said whatever I said and I just want to make sure that didn't come off right. I wouldn't want there to be friction or anger or anything between us. Mm. And it's like, oh, you know, I just thought that was a good conversation or whatever, but thank you for coming to me.
Yeah.
That means a lot that you would want to just follow up.
Yeah.
And so that's a really good dynamic there.
Yeah. And I think it even gets into like the gossip type of thing mm-hmm. where if Thad, you offend me, now I'm offended and I just go to Tammy instead of to you, mm-hmm. I'm sowing, you know, my hurt becomes her hurt towards you. And now she's mad at you and I'm mad at you and yep. it just gets really terrible. Mm-hmm. And I'm reminded of Proverbs 6 where it says, 6 things the Lord hates and mm-hmm. 7 are an abomination. And the last one is, one who stirs up discord among the brothers. Mm-hmm. And so it's way more than just blessed are the peacemakers, mm-hmm. but it's God hates mm-hmm. discord. He loves unity. Mm-hmm. And even like the Colossians verse that you, I think before that, Colossians 3:13 was the unity of the body of Christ mm-hmm. and things that destroy unity are unforgiveness mm-hmm. and anger in your heart and where you allow somebody else to take on your offense mm-hmm. that shouldn't even be there in the first place if I had just gone to my brother.
Mm-hmm. And so I think these are these dynamics that when you look at them, all of these things are true. It's good for you to go to your brother even if it's kind of bothering you. You're not mm-hmm. sure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should just go ahead mm-hmm. and just
yeah.
check on them. Right. And because that's... think about what that's going to do to that relationship too, right? That's going to make you even more affectionate towards one another, mm-hmm. to see your brother or sister caring about you in that way.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good.
And I know we're not perfect as a staff, but I can think of situations where the dynamic that you just explained, I've been the one who's had to go to a brother or sister and say, hey, I need to apologize for. And I've also had my brothers and sisters pop in my office and just say, are you okay? I realize mm-hmm. that could have come across. And so super fun when we see it, because we all need Jesus. And so I do see that happening among us as a staff.
And I really see a lot of good compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful, not all the time, but most of the churches I've been in, there's always been a compassionate first move, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where if there's a tenseness or a dynamic going on, there seems to be, it's not someone coming to you kind of to apologize, but yet justify themselves at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But coming to you with a sense of compassion and saying, hey, I want to make sure we're okay, or I want to make sure you're not hurting, or I want to make sure that mm-hmm. that conversation, you know, that right. the conversation was where we would want it to be, not, mm-hmm. not, you know, that it didn't go someplace bad. So, mm-hmm.
and then mm-hmm. acknowledging that someone was hurt. I know. I think you had used the phrase earlier today, not saying I'm sorry you felt, but I mean, it's
we're going to be
blame.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's coming up. We're going to be talking about that.
That's good.
Because there's the whole. That and then the whole if, but, and maybe. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Let's cover a few more of these, and then we're going to get back to that because that's where the – how much time have we got, Joe?
10 minutes.
Okay. All right. So all this is good.
We should have had one last week, guys.
Yeah, but this is – okay. The so when – these are the dynamics when you should do it, but then when, like, as in time and chronological. I want to be careful on that, but I can say this confidently. It needs to be a priority.
Mm-hmm.
What we see here in Scripture is talking about when you're doing this and then leave it and go.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work in our culture? How does that work in our dynamic? And what I think I can say here that's true to Scripture and true to our hearts is, let's say you're in your devotional moment in the morning or at church or whatever, mm-hmm. and it might not be necessary because maybe you need to be in person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't a simple text, right, or whatever. So what I think I can say is, yes, this needs to be a first, or this needs to be a high on priority
mm-hmm.
for you. Because it may take you a day to call someone and invite them to lunch or to be able to sit down with them or whatever. Because you, to the degree that there needs to be a conversation, you know, so even according to their schedule, they may not be able to get together, but you set that up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it needs to be a high priority.
High priority that you're worshiping the Lord and you have to stop immediately.
Yeah.
Like that does say how.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you start working towards that mm-hmm. end. Again, Matthew 23-26, kind of the second half of that, or 25-26,
mm-hmm.
come to terms quickly with your accuser, right? Mm-hmm. Get this done. Get out mm-hmm. there. Ephesians 4:26-27, giving no opportunity to the devil. Hebrews chapter 12, not allowing there to be a root of bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up and possibly defiling someone. So let's mm-hmm. prioritize this.
Yeah.
Let's bring this out in the light and, you know, of course also apply the gospel to it. Both mm-hmm. sides do that. And here's one of the things that I want to say about that is in pastoral marriage counseling, I have so many couples that come to me angry, bitter, mm-hmm. upset. You know, 5 years ago, you should have been.
Mm-hmm.
You should have been here.
Right.
There's so much resentment built up. There's so much anger, so much hate, so much hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the biggest examples I have. But you also see it in family relationships where someone has something against each other and it just goes on and on and on for years. They come to family gatherings or if they even still come at all, and they just don't even speak to the other ones, and they just stay opposite end of the room, right? You know, it's just those dynamics, and so we can't let that dynamic rule. We mm-hmm. need to handle it appropriately. So now that's where Tammy was talking about mm-hmm. some of these what we're calling the 7 A's of preparedness, right? What do we need to think about when we're talking about going and reconciling with someone? So the first A of preparedness here is just anticipate the conversation,
mm-hmm.
right? And part of this is hearing this sermon and hearing this podcast. But when you are going to go to see someone, you need to prioritize it. You need to be looking ahead to it. But you need to anticipate all of these things that we're about to talk about. Don't go into this situation without having your heart prepared, without thinking about all of these things. Because if you don't, you're going to make one of these mistakes that we're about to talk about. You need to pray, and you need to be ready, and your heart needs to be ready to have this. Because I can't tell you, and we know this almost intuitively, if you go into a situation like this, you're going to become defensive if you're not ready. You know, somebody has something against you, you go into it, you don't want to be defensive, right? So be prepared for this. First thing they need to go when you go to a person is you need to make sure that you affirm the relationship. Sometimes this is verbally, like, hey, I value this relationship. I love you. I care for you, all of this. Sometimes that affirmation needs to be verbal, but it could also be, I'd say this way, body language. So, Tammy, you'd mentioned somebody comes to you, hey, I just want to make sure you're okay. Or, hey, I just wanted to follow up you and check. And that humility and that tone says, I affirm this relationship. You don't necessarily have to, I don't necessarily have to come to Tammy every time I insult her, because I do it all the time and make her angry at me.
it'd be a daily thing.
I don't have to come to her every time and say, Tammy, I value our relationship. And so, you know, but just the knock on the door, the open it up, hey, I just wanted to, you know. So it
she can buy you a monster.
She can buy me a monster, yep. So there's that affirming that relationship, but it also could be that body language you need to go to them, because if this person's mad at you and you're coming to them, both of you feel a little awkward. But you and that body language engaging there is so helpful.
Which is why eye contact is so important, or just for someone to see the sadness in your eyes that you hurt them, which is why... texting, emails, even phone calls aren't a good way to do this. There just is something about face-to-face.
No doubt. No doubt.
Put your phone away when it's happening, guys.
Yep. So. And then this this is so good here. This is so good. Avoid if, but, and maybe. Hey, you know, you're coming to them. You're hearing this. What they're angry at you about, and you probably know, but there could be things you don't even know that you've done that added to it, right? And this was the, you know, the last straw on the camel's back that unleashed their anger. But so you go into this, you're this, they're telling you why you're angry, and it's like, well, but if you would have, or yeah, but, well, maybe if you would have thought, then
yeah, it's so easy to do that.
Yeah, it's this defense. It's this classic redirect. You know, where it's, okay, this is what you did. Right. Well, this we're not here right now to talk about what they did. We're here to talk about what you did. We're here to talk about that dynamic. So, yeah, classic mistakes. And again, if we're not anticipating this, if we're not, so for example, if I ever bring in someone to the elders, right, and we're wanting to hear a critique, a complaint, a heartburn, generally I bring them in for the first time. And I tell the elders, I don't want you talking. Like, you can ask questions for understanding, but I don't want you trying to necessarily solve it right away. I don't want you necessarily, you know, I want us all listening. I want us hearing. I want us understanding. And then we can pray about and talk about how do we help this dynamic, right? It's because you wouldn't want somebody coming into the elders and their heart's hurt and they're getting this stuff, and then the elders...
Well,
yeah,
but
if you only under, you know, or, well, maybe
you
just...
I'm sorry you felt that way, but...
Oh, okay, yep, all right, here we go. Here we go. She's bringing up the, some of the, if I don't know here, yeah, where we've got... So, again, admit, talk to the wrong interest issues, get to the question, asking rude questions, all this. But to Tammy, so acknowledge the hurt and say you're sorry, right? Okay, so here's another classic thing that we see. I'm sorry that you feel that way.
Yeah.
And then you say, you know, and you go on, I don't want you to feel that way. What that really says is I'm sorry that you're wrongly feeling this way, that you're hurt because I didn't do anything wrong, but
are you too sensitive?
You know, you're too sensitive or whatever. I'm sorry that you as a person who is not mature enough to handle the dynamic feel that way. I mean, you're not saying that straight away, but like, have you ever been in that situation where it goes, well, I'm sorry that you're not saying, I'm sorry I hurt you. You're saying, well, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I didn't do anything wrong. You know? So it's one of those things like, don't go into that situation supposed to be asking for forgiveness, and that's going to be your type of apology. And it's a classic move that happens
all the time.
Oh, it's yeah, all it's what you want to do.
Yeah, it's a self. It's and all of these go together, right? It's not like this is. And maybe I needed to mention that, or should have mentioned that up front. It's not like this is just 1, 2, 3. It goes in exactly this order. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Some of them have a little chronology to them,
yeah.
But there's some overlap here because you could do the if and but and when and mm-hmm. maybe or whatever. You know, like, yeah. Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way because you're not capable of handling this like a mature adult. But if, yeah. You know, whatever, you know, it's just.
Yeah. You trusted God.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's yeah. not what you want to do if you want to bring healing. Yeah.
And I think it comes down to empathy, feeling what they're feeling, putting yourself in their shoes.
Absolutely.
And saying, all right, how do I want to be treated?
I think the bottom line is how we look at sin. So I heard this week on my Bible recap podcast that we need to be angry at our sin and sad by someone else's. And mm-hmm. we really do flip that. Or there's a gentleman that was he's no longer with us, but huge spiritual influence on Andy and I. And as he would parent his children, he would say, Joali, you need to be more upset about how your sin hurt Julia than how Julia's hurt you. And so just watching that mm-hmm. dynamic, we're not taught to just be appalled by our sin. But no. We are naturally so appalled by somebody else's. So...
Mm. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
What are those little personality tests? You mentioned earlier today, the IFJ. What?
The Enneagram?
Myers-Briggs. Myers-Briggs. So that's the language I speak. It seems like the Enneagram is the language of the cool kids now. So
there's something to it. I don't want to go over the board with those things, but mm-hmm. but here's, along with that, I'm sorry that you're in this place and you're blah, blah, blah mm-hmm. issues. It kind of comes back, and again, you can't take this too far, but it comes back again that Jesus calls us to care for them mm-hmm. and their emotional state.
Mm-hmm.
The person who says, I'm sorry that you feel that way,
mm-hmm.
Is not caring for your emotion.
No.
They are caring about the defense of them. Yeah. And so I feel like when we care for others, and some of this, you know, you learn some of this, you know, mm-hmm. this is who I am, and so this is why I can be more riled at this moment, right? And again, you can take that too far, but that... So here's how Thad can apologize to you. Even if I actually believe that you're being oversensitive and hypersensitive, mm-hmm. because I care for you and we're in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
there should have even been a recognition perhaps on my part that this could go there. And if I don't have that recognition or if I don't know you that well that as yet, I still want to apologize to you because this is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I did something that created hurt in who mm-hmm. you are that led to anger. And so it's just this dynamic to where you need to be able to release. And again, you can't take this too far,
mm-hmm.
but you need to be able to release. And one of the things that we also talked about with, or I guess we can, where the admit and talk about wrong specifically, looking at the angers and issues and asking questions and finding out wrong, I may find out that there's underlying issues mm-hmm. in their dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you were hurt. So maybe, Timmy, you had a interesting illustration and preaching team okay. with the buzz haircuts.
Yeah.
You know?
So I was hurt by a gentleman who had a buzz haircut when the situation happened. And so I was one of those women who, even though we had homeschooled children and we were doing that, I wasn't going to buzz their hair because I reacted to that. So one day Andy came home with a haircut and he works hard and it was a buzz. And there's nothing wrong with the buzz haircut, but it triggered something in me. Mm. And so just recognizing that that happens to people, to know that there are things that happen. And I thought you brought up a good point, to know someone well enough that even if, poor Joe, we're picking on you, but if Joe is super, super sensitive, if I don't even know that Joe's super sensitive and that might affect him, I'm really not being a good friend. I don't know Joe. And isn't the bottom line to know those yeah. that we...
And again, mm-hmm. if you're talking about do to others as you'd have them do to mm-hmm. you, that's a proactive moment, proactive movement. And so you are, and again, mm-hmm. asking these questions, you'll get to know that. And as mm-hmm. you know that, Joe, because of who you are, now I know this, I am sorry that I, mm-hmm. you know, and it may have been inadvertent. I think it's okay to say, I didn't mean to do that. I think that's mm-hmm. okay, because you're still admitting wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to be able to come to that point. But mm-hmm. but I love you bringing that up, because if we ask questions, if we're looking for the issues
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to make this relationship right,
mm-hmm.
And again, because you want to know this, because you don't want to do this again,
right?
You don't want this to happen again.
Because when Andy came home with that, when he came home with that haircut, we had no idea that I would react that way. And so if we wouldn't have done the dance, if I wouldn't have tried to understand my emotions and where it was coming from, I would have just looked like a nagging, controlling wife who was deciding the hairstyle of her husband. Mm-hmm. And that was not the situation at all. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it's important. We're probably running a little short on time, so I will say this. Make sure that you're ready to accept the consequences after you search for solutions together, right, as you have these conversations, as you're looking into it. Mm-hmm. If Joe, right, we're picking on Joe, if he's a super sensitive person, I don't see that in you, Joe, but if it were the truth.
The opposite.
If it were the truth, I need to be able to accept the consequences and say, hey, I'm willing to work, you know, if I need to be careful about how I joke you or if I need to be careful about just certain things, I want to do that, right? I want to accept the consequences and then alter my behavior. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Don't do the thing that don't do it again. We were joking on preaching team. Somebody said that about leaving the cabinets open or something.
Oh, that
and
was cute. Yeah.
And wife says, hey, you left the cabinets open again, or maybe you left the toilet seat up again, or whatever. Right. You know, learn. Mm-hmm. Don't do it anymore. You know, accept those consequences. Say you're sorry. Learn from it and change your actions. Because again, you know, do what you'd have others do. You know, you want to, talking about Matthew 13:8, you want to owe no one anything except to love each other, right? You don't want to be in anyone's anger debt. You want to, as far as it depends on you, to love peacefully all. In every situation, apply the gospel, right? What would Jesus have you do? So I think if we can do these things as we go to people, when we know that they're angry for us, and then we're hoping and praying that they're also applying to their own lives the sermon we just had before. So you take what they're doing in their own heart, you hope, and what you're doing in your heart, I think we can come to a place of forgiveness and moving forward.
Yeah.
Dissipate that anger and gratitude for what Jesus has done. So there you go.
Amen. Live peaceably with everyone. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, anything to add, Tammy, to that last thoughts? Good. Anything? All right. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for watching and or listening, and we will see you guys Sunday. Have a blessed week.